we who live in the United States should be the happiest and the most thankful people on earth. Let's face it, in this country of affluence abounds. Most families have several vehicles. Most families own a home. Some own more than one home. Most who own homes have homes filled with gadgets and appliances and TV sets and telephones that are all designed to make life easier. So much food that sometimes we have to clean out our refrigerators and throw it away. Life in the United States is a good life. One question worth asking is, why aren't we the happiest people on earth? It's the rare individual that you see who is thankful and happy. This is not only true for unsaved, lost people, but it's also true for many who go to church. If you take a look at the majority of people going to church, they do not seem to be rejoicing. The fact is, some come with long, sad faces that never seem to be joyful about anything. And God wants his people coming to worship him with thankful and joyful hearts and minds. Psalm 100 is a Thanksgiving psalm. It's a psalm for giving grateful praise. It's the only psalm that classifies itself this way in the superscription. Psalm has been written for Thanksgiving. In fact, Jewish rabbis teach that this psalm is specifically applicable for Israel when offering a Thanksgiving praise and offering. God's people have been commanded by God to joyfully and thankfully worship God and serve God because of who he is. We do not know who actually wrote this psalm, but whomever it was, he had a majestic view of God and also had a positive view of worship. If we place this psalm after Psalm 99, which clearly establishes that the Lord reigns, we suggest that this will be the joyful Thanksgiving psalm that will be sung to him, about him, and for him. God wants his people to be happy, not miserable. People who worship God should be happy people, should be happy about worshiping God. And God wants his people gathering to worship him, not as some sad group who doesn't appear to have a friend in the world. He talks about the fact that we should shout joyfully to the Lord. Look at verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. It appears that this could be a private command rather than a public command, because this joyful shouting comes before a corporate entering. Actually, the verb shout is a word that means to make a loud noise. Most often it is used of crying out loudly because of something joyful. The specific cry is for all the earth to shout joyfully to the Lord. As one student says, every country should shout to God. I do find it interesting that this word is used of one who also cries out after experiencing some piercing pain or injury. It's very possible that the reason for the joyful shout is due to the fact that God has delivered one from pain. God has taken away the injury. Serve the Lord with gladness, it says in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Augustine said this psalm clearly teaches that God never wants his people serving him with bitterness or murmuring. One who is thankful is one who serves, and God wants one who serves to serve him with gladness. God wants his people serving him with happy and holy hearts. There's nothing worse than someone who serves as a whiner, doubter, and complainer. It saps the life out of everyone. I have to point out that we have to see something here. When we're involved in serving in the local church, we're involved in what God classifies as serving the Lord. Whatever capacity we serve, whether it's singing, giving, teaching, or helping, we're not serving people, we're not serving the church, we're not serving the board, we're serving God. We serve God with gladness. God does not want his people serving him begrudgingly, but joyfully. Often people will start something or promise something and then quit or not follow through. Apparently they have forgotten who it is they are serving. Come before the Lord with joyful singing, he says. God not only pays careful attention to what we sing, but how we sing. God wants us to sing joyfully. We need to be joyful people. We need to be upbeat and not down all the time. The truth is, if you're positive and upbeat, often you stand up and stand out. Many times that will lead you to witnessing opportunities. But then we need to know that the Lord is God. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Don't overlook that. The verse begins with the word know. Worship that is pleasing to God is based on knowledge. It's based on knowing the truth about God. This idea that worship is some emotional, out-of-mind feeling does not square with the Word of God. When we come before God, we must know these things about Him. We must know that the Lord Himself is God. What this means is that we should always acknowledge that God is the sovereign, triune God, who is the self-existing, glorious God worthy of worship. We must know that the Lord made us. If you really believe, you have no reason for pride in life or in worship. We don't make ourselves. Most people want to exalt themselves as if they're self-made, but the fact is, when we realize this point with bowed heads and open heart, may we offer ourselves. We can do more, no more, and we dare do no less. The obvious point is that we must know that we are made by God and not self-made. Evolution is a slap in the face against God. In fact, one real underlying motive is that we evolve so we don't have to worship God. We worship ourselves and what we make of ourselves, but God's word says otherwise. Just know that it is the Lord who made us. God made us physically. God made us spiritually. And we must know that we are God's sheep in His pasture. Big problems in America is that many tend to think their fate and success are in their hands. People are not thankful to God. They really believe they've earned everything they have the hard way. We are sheep, and we're in God's pasture, not our pasture. It's important to know that we belong to God, and everything we have has been graciously provided for us. It's impossible for people to honor God if they truly think God, if they think they own themselves and have accomplished everything on their own. But then we enter His property with thanksgiving and praise. Look at verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. The gates were the gate doorways that led to the place of worship. Now the gates and courts refer to the tabernacle of God and ultimately the temple of God, which is the place of corporate worship. When God's people go to worship, they should go with hearts that are thankful to God and hearts that desire to praise God. It should be a sense of awe and reverence and thankfulness that Almighty God would permit us to enter into His presence. And then give thanks to God. God deserves our thanks and our praise. We consider the many blessings He's given to us. How can we help but thank Him, praise Him? Two times here in verse 4, the emphasis is on giving thanks to God or being thankful to God. And apparently the admonition is much needed because it's been neglected. We need to bless the name of God. Why? We'll look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. God is good. God does good things. God gives good things. God blesses with good blessings. God is to be worshipped and praised because He is God. Because the Lord's mercy and His loving kindness is everlasting. Spurgeon said it is the mercy of God that would let anyone enter the gate of God. Right here is a motive for thanking God forever. His Lord's faithfulness is to all generations. For the past several thousand years, God has been good to people in all generations. God has been good even to those who have mocked Him. It's one powerful statement. Certainly there's an application for every generation of Israel. There's also an application to every generation of all people of all time. Every generation of people have received benefits and blessings from God. Every generation of people, even God-mocking people, have experienced God's goodness.